WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm wearing my Ravens gear because 'tis the season. Las Vegas is a week away now, and it won't be for J.K. Dobbins or some others, but football season is here. I originally met this guy through football. We now talk about life and sometimes work and COVID and sometimes sports. Bill Cole runs a Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I have some Royal Farms coffee. This is the Justin Tucker blend from Royal Farms in my Cole Roofing mug. I remember a time where you and I would, right around now, be like, are you going to Vegas and Detroit, or Detroit and Denver, or Miami and Chicago? Hey, you want to get on the bus trip to Pittsburgh? Hey, Cleveland's going to be good this year. Let's go to Canton and go to the Christmas Story House and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's not forget that. Bill, look, man, I've been running around the last month, and I've been talking about this all week. I'll be talking about it all next week. I am going to Vegas next weekend for a day. I originally had a Friday flight to Tuesday. It was going to be a hootenanny. We were going to drink and do this. And we're just at a different place, man. I was at the Eagles concert on Wednesday night. Everybody had masks on down in D.C. I was at Alanis Morissette. It was so crowded on the lawn, we wore our masks on the lawn because it was that crowded. And it was that dense with air. The hockey rink was much more like free air than the outdoor space was at Merriweather. For every business, there's a challenge. And I reached you this morning. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks because I've been off eating crab cakes, gaining weight.
You've been shoving your face with crab cakes.
Yeah. I've gained 10 pounds. It's crazy. How are you? How's your business? How are things? I'm sensing some real, not just battle fatigue from COVID, but some real dread about the next 6 to 8 months. And I feel it too. The reason I'm doing all these concerts is I don't really believe I'm seeing Mick Jagger shake his ass in 32 days in Pittsburgh. He might, but I'm not counting on anything happening. I'm not counting on really going to restaurants this winter. I'm as concerned as everyone else.
I don't know if my concern is beyond 30 days. Like if anything, that the pandemic has trained me that I'm only allowed to think like,
right, seven, things that happen in February are real. They're just away. Things on the calendar. Right. Yeah.
So you're looking a little bit shorter term. I think the problem now is we've added more variables to the discussion, which makes it harder to build, sound protocol and procedures. Before, in the beginning, like, okay, we don't really know what this is. It's scary. Everybody go home. All right. That's pretty black and white, right? Then it was, well, you can go to the grocery store and stuff like that, but you got to like take a shower and hand sanitizer, double mask and blah, blah, blah. And we started getting all these things delivered and all this process. Now we're at this place where, we continue to push the vaccines, and there's different protocol for vaccinated than there is for unvaccinated. But as far as my reality goes, the vaccinated are catching it similarly as the unvaccinated, like maybe not, because I don't really have the data.
Catching it and dying from it's different. Right.
Totally like different.
The fact that I could be COVID positive right this moment,
right,
being that I've been around people, is very likely or possible. I can hang in my condo, not touch anyone, cough a minute, or be asymptomatic and literally never know it. I mean, my wife and I have never tested positive for COVID. We're a year and 9 months into this. We absolutely believe we had it in the beginning. Like, I don't know where these antibody tests and all that crap. I don't know what that would even mean for me. Now that Lamar Jackson's had it twice, and now that we know vaccinated people can get it, and what that means for unvaccinated people who get it, right?
So like 100% of the people I know who think they had it in the beginning turned out to not have it. But that's just a small sample size, right? But I don't know what the plan. If you talk to, I guess, smart people that I think I respect and think they know what they're talking about, we have to stop trading it from people to people. Otherwise, we're going to keep dealing with more and more mutations. And we're really
every single thing every scientist explained 18 months ago that we probably didn't understand.
And we're really, really scared that one of these mutations, right, could have a dire change to it. So we got to try and stop licking each other's doorknobs and like sharing the pandemic with everyone in circles and getting it three times. And like that seems not good, but we are so focused on getting the vaccine that I believe it's affected the rules that we've created for the vaccinated. Like if you're vaccinated, you pretty much don't have to quarantine. Like you don't have to do it. Like if you're in close contact with someone that tested positive and you're vaccinated, the CDC says, carry on, brother. Like, hey, keep an eye.
That's the herd immunity part of this, right? Is that we all wouldn't die from the common cold, right? Like literally.
Yeah. I'm not a scientist. You know this, right? So I don't understand.
Neither one of us are. And if we had a scientist on, the audience wouldn't understand the scientist.
Right.
Because they go to school for years and it's not easy to do. It looks easy to get up and put a roof on, Bill, right? I mean, you can teach me how to do it, but I couldn't do it a day.
Very quickly in probably not April, maybe April of 20, maybe it was more like May because it took some time for us to really understand what was happening. But we had very defined protocol for if someone tests positive, if someone on the crew tests positive, if someone on the job site tests positive, if someone in the, like everybody knew what the procedures were. And we could train people so that if you were talking to my foreman or my project manager or my truck driver, like they all kind of knew what the rules were, right? Like it was very simple. Now
there's three, four sets of rules.
It's so complicated. We can't even take the time, not to mention that I believe everyone is kind of operating under the pretense of like, well, let's just not really talk about it because everybody's pretty much vaccinated and we all really need to do these things. So let's make sure the schools stay open and let's make sure the jobs keep going and da da da. Like
that doesn't help the hospitals when they run out of ICU beds in Salisbury.
Well, I think part of it is the in our state, they are not raising the hospital bed alarm, right? Yes, they're saying people are getting it. Yes, they're saying more people are getting it. Yes, they're saying younger people are getting it. But no one's raising the – like when you see something about hospital beds, it's always in the South right now, right? Like
it's always in a place where they voted for the con man. That literally that's what this is. This has become politicized by internet junk that conspiracy people believe, you know, on both sides of the political spectrum.
We don't have to participate in the politicization, if I could even spit that out. We don't have to participate in that. What is true about the
South? No, you have to participate in that because the Trump places are the places where there's 25%, 30% vaccination. That's the truth. The places where they vote sanely and they follow science in the blue states, they don't have ICU bed problems. You can go look that up.
I don't.
That's a fact.
I don't have to accept that because my science says that if you're in the South and it got really hot, everybody went inside where the air conditioning was, and we all know that being inside shares the Rona better than being outside. So I listened to a very non-political guy talk about in May how the next wave was going to come.
But I think it's a belief system, Bill. I respect what's going on. I sat next to a guy last night in a hockey game who had no mask on, who didn't bring a mask with him, who might have had it in his pocket and wore it in the door to get in the door. And then
I understand.
Last night, they ask if you're vaccinated to go see the Eagles. They ask if you're vaccinated to go see Alanis Morissette. So, and I don't have my wallet in here. If I did, I'd pull my vax card out and hold it up because I have it stuffed in my wallet. My wife's like, you're going to lose your card. I'm like, you have a picture of your card, and I have a picture of my card. The problem is the picture of cards are manipulated, right? Like, she's like, mine's real. And I'm like, anybody could fake a picture. I could take a picture of your card, put my name on it, show it to the person that walk into the hockey rink and they'll let me in.
Well, the problem is the card was created by one, someone who doesn't actually have a wallet because it doesn't fit in your wallet.
It's ridiculous.
And two, the card is equally as creatable as the picture. So I wouldn't even bother auditing the picture or editing the picture to fraud it. I could.
Well, this wasn't well thought out. I mean, you know, like it just wasn't. And and the vaccine passport going across countries. There's a reason we have a passport, right? I mean, which I do have my hand on my passport. My passport happens to be right here. United States of America, baby. There it is right there. So, you know, when I pull that thing out.
Do you have no problem putting your health credentials on the internet?
Do I have no problem? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Do I have any problem telling people I'm vaccinated?
No, but these things that want you to upload your vaccine to their website, and that's like how they're allowing access or whatever.
Oh, in other words, you're going to a convention, and to get in, you put a picture of your card to say, I'm clean, you can let me come. Like me going to the Raiders, Ravens game next week. Yes. They want to know I've been vaccinated. Would
you had to do clear to do that?
No, I have to get my nose swabbed every 14 days to be around the Ravens. I haven't done it yet because I haven't been around the Ravens, but I'm doing it next week.
The Vegas game. You just got to get swabbed. You don't have to.
No, I don't know. I mean, the way this has worked at venues, and I've only been to three of them where they've asked me for a vaccine card. I went to Bruce Springsteen in New York very early on in June. I mean, little theater, 1600 people.
Yeah.
At the front door, first thing they ask for is your vax card. Bruno Mars asked for a vax card when I was at MGM. And that was a three-prong protocol because they took our phones. I think I told you that, right?
Yeah.
We locked up phones. I thought they were doing that last night at the Eagles. So Alanis and the Eagles, I both concerts at the door before tickets, before rub down, before, you know, do you have a gun or a knife? First person has a flashlight and they want to see your vax card.
But, okay, I get it. My question is, I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is if there's 75,000 people to get in, you need someone to check 75,000 people's wallets or phones.
Yeah. I'm not.
Or whatever fake ID or real ID they have.
Right. I'm not necessarily trying to.
Well, you remember what a pain in the ass it was to get into games to begin with. Now this is like another, you know, for events and stuff like that, this is going to be another level.
I'm asking about this concept of you sharing your vaccine status through the internet to a data capture. Like my father's going out to Vegas and for some reason he has to do the clear, you know, clear in the airport.
Sure.
Right. So they, you know, that's his ability to get in the stadium and they also do the vaccine proof there. He didn't even have it for flights. And he's like, well, I'll probably just do it for flights. And I knew that clear was going to the stadiums to also attack that sort of pat down.
You remember Kim Herring, Ravens? Sure. He is a vice president for clear. He's I'll get him on the show. And we'll talk about it because we have a 20th anniversary coming up of Super Bowl victory. That's in the Cincinnati game in early November. They're celebrating that.
This concept of sharing something about your health into a database, clear maybe is a little bit different because they have some level of trust considering they're trying to clear you through TSA and all that. But like, I don't know, Meriwether starts a database and you have to upload your vaccine status with your driver's license and they're going to store all that data on you. You okay with that?
I haven't become freaked out about privacy and issues because I think it's over. The privacy thing's over in that way. Once you upload it, I can only imagine how long I've been on Facebook and on social media, how much the access to who I am and what I do and what I believe is available. I think I'm not as freaked out about that Big Brother thing because it's just there now. Am I freaked out about it? Sure, but it's over with. It's like being freaked out about COVID. It's here. There's nothing. Right. You can't stop it. Now you adjust to it. The adjustment to it would be, would I have any problem telling somebody I'm vaccinated to get in to be safe? I haven't had any. I haven't had any problem with the medical part of this. I haven't had any problem with the vaccine part of it because I understand science and this is the way humanity works. And, you know, as Don Henley said on Wednesday night, with freedom comes responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? And part of that is polio and all the things our parents told us, all the things we believed as Americans, before the Russians got a hold of us in the internet through various chat channels and, you know, troll farms telling Americans to not take vaccines developed by Americans. I don't know what to say to conspiracy people. That's part of the shit with conspiracy people, dude. You can't argue with them. They believe it's George Costanza. They believe it. So it's real.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that.
I definitely a fair perspective in the idea that, hey, too late to care about this, right?
But I would also say I've been all over the state this month, bro. And I've turned corners and seen Confederate flags. I've turned corners and seen F. Biden and, you know, like all of that in Western Maryland and Southern Maryland and the Eastern Shore. One thing I've realized, and I brought this up with Governor Hogan on Monday. I don't know if you saw, I had lunch with the governor down at the Boatyard. Great, big crab cake down there, by the way, in Annapolis at Eastport. I brought this up with him because it affected me for 30 days on the trip. Almost every day. Wi-Fi. I mean, you guys have trucks. You put roofs on elementary schools in some of these places that are a little bit off of 70 or a little bit off of 50 or a little bit off of 68 as you get further out. The internet, Wi-Fi, information, how information flows. It is a basic. I mean, I have this phone. I went to college. I'm around really smart people. I love smart people. I hate dumb people. That's why I stopped taking phone calls, because there was no credibility in the stuff people were saying. And then other people believe that John Harbaugh has 14 toes or whatever Cal Ripken's wife. I mean, stupid stuff 30 years later that people believe. And I go to these places now and see they've never been on the internet. And if they are, they're only on Facebook to the 14 friends they have from church in the town of 218 people they have. There's no outside thinking allowed. And it's not different than a chat room, but at least in a chat room in a city, we're moving around. At least we see people we hate and disagree with who have different skin color or beliefs. There, everyone's the same. And it's a small town. I mean, I was really educated this month by how – and I'm going to use some word. People won't like sheltered, you know, small town, whatever that is. That's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing if that's the only thing you're experiencing and the leader of that small town is a Trump or anti-vaxxer and has 300 people believing that the vaccine is allowing Bill Gates to track your movement at the Eagles concert last night, you know?
I think where you were going was, what responsibility does the state have to make sure that these small towns have Wi-Fi, broadband, something to connect them with the greater universe so that they aren't so sheltered? Is that where you were going with that?
I don't know what they would believe. I think if you log on, you go to the place where you're comfortable, no matter who you are. So I don't know how that changes things, but I know access to outside information. I couldn't get a text out. I couldn't get a tweet out. Sending a video, forget that. I couldn't just get a text from Cambridge to St. Michael's in certain cases to tell people I was late for dinner. And that is 1999. All, you know what I mean? It's a 20-year behind thing for all information. When I think of everything I've ever consumed, information, wisdom, pushing off conspiracy theories, hearing them from the President of the United States for 4 years. And this is what large segments of our white, you know, far-flung population in places where they don't get the internet. This is, they have cable television. That's all they have. And they're not allowed to talk back. That's another thing that was weird to me, being a radio guy, taking phone calls, is we were the medium where people could be heard before they could go and scream out into the internet, right? These people, if you don't have the internet, you don't even have a way to like talk back. There is no, there's just television, and whatever Tucker Carlson says, you hold on and grip your testicles, and that he looks like me. He must be, he's honest like Donald Trump was. I mean, like that, and that's just, and that's not an Eastern Shore thing or Western Maryland thing or Southern. That's just an off-the-highway thing where this doesn't work. And even if you had it, it was a flip phone because it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think you made a good point earlier on about in denser populated areas, you by accident become aware of alternate opinions. You know, like down there, they don't even know that the world has a different opinion. Right. Like until something happens that, so
they don't know that they hate Martians until the Martian shows up and says, he's green, a little different. He ain't from around here. We don't trust people not from around here. I mean, all of those. But that being said, the friendliest people in the world. It was way friendlier not being in Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like, people were nice to each other and say good morning, even to a stranger in Deep Creek Lake, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they're like that for everybody, but hey, I hear you. I think
that's because I don't look like a Martian when I have my hat up, you know, and my hat on.
Right. The access to the internet, Wi-Fi, broadband, whatever that description ultimately is a totally fair game as a place to completely vilify the politicians because they have. It's a hard topic. It has elements of capitalism. It has elements of like the utility and monopolies and all that.
Well, this is why business can't run. This is why we can't have businesses running our banks, businesses running our health, businesses running things that will be taken advantage of. And this is one of those things where, you know, my wife's company, you know, they don't want to do the last mile because it costs 10 times more than the first 15 miles cost. And Bill is Ted Kaczynski down the hill somewhere, you know, off in Cecil County, off in the middle of nowhere, and running a cable down there costs $25,000 and they're going to charge you $100 a month and they're never going to get their money back.
Yeah, but that part's easily solved. I mean, that's an infrastructure bill, right? Like that part's not.
Go Pete Buttigieg. It's infrastructure week.
Yeah. That's not necessarily the issue as much as,
we got electricity to these people 100 years ago, didn't we?
Right. Finding the right regulatory mix of, you know, what should be regulated and even funded through the government as opposed to allowing capitalism.
Well, according to Larry Hogan, nothing should be funded by the government. I sat and talked to him the other day. Same thing with Barry Glassman. I mean, and that's not. And again, on some sides, reparations are coming. Like that's not happening either. Right. So. And I talked to a lot of people about this week, and this may be a little bit of a theme. And maybe it goes back to Bruce Springsteen and that goofy commercial he did at Super Bowl, the middle, right? Where's the middle in this? Because the middle is the only place we can live, and we're not in the middle right now. We're always in the middle, but we're not living in the middle.
The middle doesn't change anything, right? The middle just leaves you there. You need, like it or not, you need the far ends to say crazy stuff so that the middle can say, whoa, you're nuts.
Taking away women's uteruses is a good idea in Texas? Who thinks that's a good idea on Tuesday morning?
But if you take two steps back from all the way over there, there's actually some kind of middle-ish solution. So all I'm saying is a society without people at both ends of the spectrum, like really far off, will be a mundane, probably like, this is not fair either because I've never been there, but Sweden, right? Like,
Sweden's a great place.
Just like chugging along. No real change. No real advancement.
Nobody's getting shot in an alley in Sweden today.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill, I think this is the amazing part for people that don't have a passport here or don't get around or don't have the internet. And I meet them every day and they want to argue with me who's been around the world and paying attention. And this is why I don't take phone calls anymore. I there's something about being to places like Sweden and being to places like Japan and being to places like Amsterdam and being to places like Jamaica or being to places like the Dominican or being to places like Venezuela or being to places like Beijing, China, where I've been, or South Korea. So all of these places are different and they all have different political structure and all that, but everybody loves their children. Everybody needs employment. Everybody needs to make food, and we all have that part of it in common. But I think there's a part where we don't really appreciate the violence that we have brought upon our society. And I look, MMA, I walk into bars now at 2 p.m, two guys beating the shit out of each other, blood everywhere. And I'm ordering like, you know, medium rare burger and a beer with some fries, you know, like that didn't exist. The violence, the guns, the glorification. We have more guns than we have people in this country. People in Australia and Sweden they would freak them out. That's why they don't come to America, because they think everybody gets shot every day. The same reason people don't come to Baltimore from the Eastern Shore, because they just think they're going to get shot. They're not, so, but they think that.
Right. So in all the places you mentioned and all these places you've been and all these differences you've seen.
One of the differences is they don't let everybody have a machine gun. They just think that's a bad idea. We're the only society that's embraced that, Bill, in the history of the universe.
Okay, fine.
I don't know what that's going to mean for our children, but that's, you know, my things that are too far gone. That's too far gone. I had some guy in Ocean City tell me, they're coming to get my guns. And there's signs all over the Eastern Shore. They're coming to get your guns. I'm like, they would never find your guns. I mean, it's an absurd thought. It's like absurd, like they were going to come and take your reproductive. Oh, they did that in Texas. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Or that they're going to force you to take a vaccine and that you're not going to be able to go anywhere unless you have a card that says you do. Mm. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
It would have sounded crazy 2 years ago.
Hell yeah, it would have. Hell yeah, it would have. So all those things considered, all the things you've seen, all those places you've been, you know, if we got the matrix out and we were ranking all the countries and what they were good at and what they weren't good at, does the United States still come in at the top of the list?
Well, it depends on what you want. Do you want to live in a place where we have all of this and Vegas is open 24 hours, but you might get shot being there? Or do you want to be in Sweden where you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, you get up and your kids hug you and you like, you know, and there is none of that. And maybe they're not the warmest people in the world or whatever socially, but there is, if safety, this goes back to human needs, dude. I'll break my Tony Robbins out. What's important to you? Well, I mean, well, is freedom important?
That, but
is health important? Is safety important? Is being rich important? Is God important? Is family important? Is eating important? Eating's really important in Africa, right? Like that's, you know, I mean, there are places where we get up and decide what we want to eat. There they decide, is there anything
if
to
they're
eat?
Gonna eat? Sure. But, you know, every time.
And there's more people in the world that suffer from that every day than any of us in America could ever realize because we have such access to abundance. Shameful, you know, abundance, quite frankly.
Right. But every time there's an election, somebody always makes the idle threat of if so-and-so wins, I'm moving to Canada. Or, you know what I'm talking about? And,
of course.
People use that argument when they're complaining, like, well, if you hate it so bad here, why don't you move to,
if you don't like Donald Trump, leave America. No, I'll stay and I'll put him in jail is what I'm going to do.
Right. So some part of our discussion as a society, as a country, I'm going to say country, less society, right? Society implies the whole globe. Country is that if we're unwilling to do the matrix, figure out what we want and where we should go that is the best at that, then it inherently is going to create lots of groups that have lots of different opinions about how this all should go. And that is invariably going to create conflict that in a place where right now we are free to go buy a gun could result in that gun getting used in that conflict. Because we're all allowing each other to help have dialogue on how we're going to shape this thing. And that is the, like the real risk of the way we're playing the game. So for all that violence and aggressiveness, I hear you. I totally hear you. Like I can't. MMA.
You have people in Congress telling people to pick up their guns and get ready to come kill people like me because
MMA.
I voted for Joe
Biden. Right. MMA is one of those things that 30 years ago, like you know, the, what was it, Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you remember that? Like it was a game show, right? It was a game show where the people died. And the MMA is like two steps behind Running Man. I feel like, I mean, it's so violent. It's so crazy.
And it's become so accepted in 15 years.
Yeah,
like I remember when professional wrestlers would bleed and they, and the state athletic commission would say, put the razor blades away. We can't have that down at the arena tonight.
Right.
And now in the air, once AIDS happened, right? Once blood and rubber gloves happened, that became part of probably what Vince was. Vince went to crotch chops at that point, right? And that wasn't enough. You know, the WWE wasn't enough. We had to have real gladiatorial in a cage, no less. And it's wildly popular, like crazy popular, because violence is popular in our society. And Bill, this is the part that when you travel a little bit, people around the world They think we're out of our minds. You know what I mean? Like literally places where they love their children, they worship a creator of some kind that is about kindness and peace and love and family and respect that we in America think respects Dirty Harry. This is respect. You know, talk to my little friend. I watch Scarface. That. I mean, that's respect.
Well,
in the rap culture, what is respect? It's having a gun. Bling and like, you know, all of that stuff. Other societies look at this and think we are the de-evolution of, and now a simple scientific thing where people in Germany are like, give me the shot. People in Japan and South Korea, the government says to them, this is what you do. And we're looking out for you. And we've been running this structure here in Japan for a couple of centuries. Like, this is about your children. You love your children. You love your family. You love your countrymen. You love your country. You love your society. You love your neighborhood. You love the people you worship with. You protect them because it's a plague. It's not a Donald Trump plague or a Joe Biden plague or a Nancy Pelosi plague it's a plague. And you know, the people that have the shots understand that. The rest of the people, I don't know what the hell they think, but they're not thinking scientifically. They're not thinking like they should be thinking. And I don't, far from be for me to say who should or shouldn't think, but the people running around without masks are the ones going into these ERs and saying to the doctors, I don't believe it's real because I can't see it. But I believe in Jesus. But I believe in that.
Now that I'm sick, can you please give me the vaccine? Like,
I believe in science now, right? the same people that don't trust the doctors to give them the advice are the same people going to the doctors to say, fix me now. They'd rather have Revectazin or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, I don't mean to giggle at it because it really isn't like humorous. You know what I mean? Like sometimes the only thing you can do is laugh because you're at your wit's end. Because I really do think it's going to be more straining on our human to human interaction as we move forward because it continues to be less clear, less black and white, you know? And I just, I get concerned. Like I really purely out of self-serving emotional well-being, I am completely subscribing to the theory that, we just crossed over the peak and that it's all going to start going down now. And that this is the end. We're almost there, Ness. Like we're coming out of it, right? Like so many people just got it in.
Well,
the
I had Larry Hogan on this
days.
Week talking about 80% of our, you know, in Maryland, we're at 80-85%, you know, like that is literally all the CDC people said that would be a threshold.
But that is all I can tell you is that.
But that's not the truth in Garrett County.
Well, and that is not the philosophy that the hospital people are taking. Like the hospital people are genuinely scared, right? That
because they've never seen anything like it, and they've never seen anything like the disinformation that is out there. That is,
They're just going off a year ago, right? So if we're seeing
a year ago, we thought 85% of the people get vaccinated because their parents told them about polio and they'd understand it. I didn't realize John Smoltz and Al Leiter would be getting fired by the Major League Baseball Network because they refused to get vaccinated. I didn't realize they were that dumb. I knew they were good pitchers, but I didn't realize they were stupid.
Yeah. They're concerned because if it's spiking like this now, what happens when we go indoors in November, right? So that's their general concern is like, And without the math of the herd immunity stuff, you know, and the people vaccinated and the people getting it and all that stuff, I would be concerned too, right? Like our numbers went crazy through the winter. Well, if we're already at an elevated state right now, we should be worried about overloading the hospitals. I don't think that's the case, right? Like I think,
it depends what part of the world you're in, though, Bill, right?
Between,
I mean, there are places where...
Oh, always.
The places that need the help the most are the places with the least amount of hospitals. And I think that was a concern a year ago about all of this disinformation and who would believe what and who would be susceptible to taking these variants into year two, which is where we're, you know, we're easily headed into year two. Year three, I should say this.
I don't want to be insensitive, but especially in those rural communities where there are only 14 hospital beds or what, you know, whatever the number is, it's like crazy. There's one little spot and it's 4.5 hours away. They all can get a vaccination. Like we did that. We got that figured out. And they'll all have a chance to get a booster. So, like, I don't know how bad I'm going to feel for them. Like, it's already, we are already allowing the unvaccinated to dictate the way we have to behave. And
Two weeks ago, I said, so we are allowing the dumbest, most ignorant people to dictate all of this. And that's something I don't think any of us could have seen when the white lights went on in Wuhan 2 years ago, right? Like, well, that's where we would be. And again, Trump was running the country holding Bibles upside down then, you know?
Right. We would make the argument back then that what we were allowing was we were allowing the old people to run the country. Because all the decisions that were made were not only made by old people, but they were made to protect old people, right? Like, we could have went a different path. Again, not a scientist, not a global pandemic expert, but the majority of the people that were dying were over the age of 60, right? I think we kind of know that now. Not that nobody less did, but that was the group. Put them in the, you know, chain them all up to their houses. Put them away. Let the rest of the people go to work. Those were the first people we vaccinated. Well, does that actually make sense? Does it make sense to put the people who are not producing the economic engine of the country to vaccinate them? Well, I could have made the argument that.
Well, you have to because you love your grandmother.
I know, but I can stick Granny in the bed for another 6 months, right? Like, Granny, stay home. Cook some more cobbler. You know, it's all going
to
be okay.
The problem is you're going out and bringing it home to grandmom, dude. That was the problem.
No, I can't go. I know I can't go to grandma, but I'm going to get I'm the first vaccinated because I need to go out and I need to work.
Because you're the earner.
Yeah, we need to earn. Right, exactly. That, I mean, I'm not saying we should have did that. I'm just saying an alternate hypothesis on how it could have went down. It clearly
didn't. It didn't go down that way because they were afraid old people were going to die.
Sure. And it didn't matter anyway because we created 6 billion vials of the stuff in, you know, 7 months.
Yeah, everybody's beating each other up in February to get the shot. I got the shot by April. Nobody wanted it in May.
Right. I know. It was totally ridiculous. Now, if one of or two or three, if only one of them had worked, right, or if there are different outcomes, they could have went very differently. And then we got all these old people vaccinated and all the 40s and 50-year-olds and 30-year-olds. Oh, there's no shots left. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? You know, like, it could have went differently, maybe, or maybe it was all planned from the beginning, Beth, right? This was all planned.
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We argue about politics, life. Anything you want to say about the Ravens? I'm going out late. I'm making it a business trip. I'm going Sunday, coming back Tuesday. I got work to do. Crab cake tour was unbelievable. By the way, I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days next August, Bill. I'm breaking the news to you. It's my 31st anniversary next year. We had so much fun. Met so many people.
Yeah, I missed you. I got to do one with you someday. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
We're starting next Friday. If you want to be a first guinea pig, we're going to be at the Chaucer at 2 p.m. on the 10th, Purple Friday, getting ready. It's going to be, we have a crab cake over there. My friend Brian Eater, we're going to kick off the local version of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be doing it on Fridays, mostly Fridays. I'm doing a Monday with Johnny O the following week to get ready for the Chiefs game. But nonetheless, the Crab Cake Tour has moved local here now. So right. You can participate, and I do promise you that we'll get you a crab cake. Costas or Faith, these are crab cake of your choice.
Did you get out to the BMW championship?
I did, accidentally. Serendipity was my August tour, right? So Saturday night we were in Frederick and we came home early. We came home a night early. We didn't stay in Frederick, slept in our own bed. I woke up 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, golf's happening today. I should go. So I went. I loved it. It was great. There's nothing negative. I mean, it was perfect. The weather, the event, the people, all of it. It was great for Baltimore. It was a wonderful thing.
I've only ever been to one. And it was a couple years ago and it was out of town. It was like a roofing client thing. And it was fun, man. I had so much fun. And I went Thursday.
I believe you didn't text me Sunday, man. You had fun without me.
I didn't go Sunday. I went Thursday.
Oh, so you sweat your ass off.
I was sweating my ass off, took a bunch of clients. It was like going to Disney in the summertime. My feet hurt. I was miserable. We had such a good time. It was so well done. I mean, it was just really wild. And then what I like about it is Thursday you learn people. Friday you're following them people. Saturday you're checking in on them. And then Sunday, all of a sudden, they're showing up in this great contest. So that part of it was really exciting, you know, and the concept of following for 4 days, that's a really fun, like I wanted to go to Atlanta this week to go watch them guys again because they're in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like they're in the playoffs.
You'll have a chance next year. And I felt like it was a great regional thing. It brought people here, yeah, no doubt about it. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He takes care of roofs. You can find him at Cole Roofing. You can find him at Gordian Energy. You can find him out at BaltimorePositive.com. Bill, appreciate you, man. I will argue with you about football next week. How about
enjoyed
that?
It.
All right.
Enjoyed it. Thanks.
We could argue about J.K. Dobbins next week in the and cost benefit and risk analysis. How about that? Yeah. He is Bill. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.